with no. This is Italian person. No, this is Schreiber. I believe the name of the person is. I don't know anything about this. Schreiber doesn't it? Let's see the Shah. No, the one who wrote it was Schreiber, who was his grandfather, David Halevi Heller. Rav David Halevi Heller, he passed away. Rav David Halevi was a very big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Pesach. I don't really know much about him. He has a grandson, his name is Yom Tov Lipman Schreiber, and his grandson lives in Lakewood. His grandson
the put... Taisus Yom Tov, that's all.
You know who he is?
Well, the Taisus Yom Tov was Heller, Yom Tov
Lipman. Oh, okay, so this is more recent. The person... The person who said the shiur, these are shiurim, these are that have been transcribed, that have been written over. It's 3 volumes, and it's really, really good. It's written up very, very well. A lot of very good things, and he has a lot of information, a lot of chidushim on the sugya of netilas yodayim. This week's parasha, the first thing we learn is that Vayera Elov Hashem Be'eloni Namre Hu Yoshei Pesach Ha'oil Kechoy Vayom Vayisna Vayar Vinei Shloish Anashim Yitzimula Vayar Vayar It's the cross of Pesach Ha'oil Vayishtach Orzo Vayomar. He says to them, I don't remember what Lepsuk and Balpel like Rabbi Mayevsky, but he says, Yugach no me'at moyim. Take a little bit of water. Me'at moyim. V'rachatsu mayim. Take a small amount of water, verachatzu raglechem, and wash your feet. So Rashi says, "What's this? This what is this? The mayim? Good morning. How are you? What does it mean over here? Take a little bit of water. What's this all about? That Avram thought he did not yet know that these are malachi hasharis. He thought these were aravim." Aravim, these were people, whatever that means, I'm not exactly sure what that means, Aravim, people, they were nomads, and they bow down, they worship the dust of their feet. Rabbi, please. They worship the dust of their feet. The Oivdei Avodah Zarah, a very interesting type of idolatry. When we think about idolatry, Dar Enosh, we don't think about dust. We think about people who worship the stars, the moon, the sun, the heavenly bodies, okay, and people who worship gold. You know, we know today in America, we worship money,
cryptocurrencies
in the garbage. Cryptocurrency has crashed and mamish, unbelievable. It felt, yeah.
It might be something like Baal Peor, where.
Interesting, you say Rav Chol saying very thing. When do we first Baal Peor? Where they the way they would serve their idol was by relieving themselves. Defecate, which will
Rabbi Greenblatt's book, it's called self-abnegation.
Yeah. Self-abnegation, but this is different. This is a different type of. This has to be studied in the world of idolatry. After you finally understand the heavenly bodies, you worship nature. You worship money. Okay, there's mazolites. There are things that are tangible, things that are not tangible. This is a unique, and then Rav Mechol said this Baal Peor is defecate. It's a certain type of whatever it represents self defecation, deprecation. Excuse me, self deprecation to basically abnegate, self deprecation, to make nothing of yourself. Man is just a worthless piece of garbage. And then there is the worshipping of Marcolis. What's Marcolis? Can't figure this one out.
That's defecation.
Marcolis is to throw stones. Okay, stones. Okay, in the world of idolatry, this one is a new one, is to worship dust. And not just dust, the dust of your feet. Okay, Pella, what is this all about?
I have this thing, well, I'm wondering what is worship?
Two stone, one stone on top of two stones.
We ask God for things. We say thank you for things. We ask for things. Do we know what they were doing when they were
presenting these things to their own.
Avodah Zarah, do we know what they were?
Masech Avodah Zarah of Aharon.
We don't know what worshiping means.
400.
It's 400 parakim. 400 parakim. There are so many different forms of idolatry. I have no idea. It's a new thing. It's a very important Rashi because you cannot deal. You have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. The CIA supposedly has a file on every world leader, and every time they negotiate, you negotiate with the world leader. You have to know what makes him tick. You got to know what gets him excited. What is he like? You have a guy who likes old cars. So you give him a gift. You give him some old motor vehicle, antique. Right away you'll butter him up. There's a guy who likes food, certain type of cuisine. So if you want to go butter him up, you go and you give him a good meal. You have to know your enemy. You have to understand that the mindset, how a person's mind works. Avraham Avinu, and everyone is different. If you understand people like money, if you like money, so you know that's an advantage. You know how to deal with the person. Some people, they don't care about money. They want covet. Some people, they like food. Everyone has the things that make them, that turn them on. Avraham Avinu sees these people, and right away he makes an assessment that these are people who worship the dust of their feet. That is an important introduction in dealing with these people, in when he's going to try to be mekar them, to bring them tachas kanfei hashchina. The end was, they were malachi hasharis. But, you know, if Hashem made them appear before him as Aravim, that means that they worship the dust of their feet. Wow, never heard of that Avodah Zarah before. What exactly does that mean, to worship the dust of your feet? Does it mean when a person works very, you worship, basically you worship yourself? Because you work very, very hard. I worked hard, and when you work hard, you get dirty. You need to take a shower. There's dust on your feet when you work very hard. So what are you really worshiping when they say you worship the dust of your feet? People who worship themselves. Maybe that's the worst type of idolatry. You know, to worship a star, a moon, and the sun, at least you know, oh, there's another being in this world that you have to humble yourself to. Hey, it's Avodah Zarah. You're not humbling yourself to Hashem. You're humbling yourself to the sun, the moon, the stars. Okay, money, you love money, you worship money. To worship the dust of your feet, it means I am God. I worship myself. Because the dust of your feet means my heart, but it's a certain type of worship. I work hard, and therefore I it comes to me. I deserve it. America used to be, you have to work hard to get somewhere. You have to work hard. There's a certain pride in Nenem Yigias Kapoy, which we look at as the ultimate virtue, but if you don't keep it in check, it can become an Avodah Zarah. Okay, so what do you do to get rid of this? And I'm saying this for an important reason, because in the Tilas Yudayim, what did Avraham Avinu, what was the first thing that he did? Avraham Avinu, his whole goal is to bring these people Tachas Kanfei Hashchina, is we got to clean up the Avodah Zarah. Yukachna me'at moyim. We got to give these people some water. They have to wash their feet. They have to wash. It doesn't say wash their hands, wash their feet. They have to get rid of the Avodah Zarah, and then you can come into my house. We'll make room for you, and I'm going to take your tachas kanfei hashchina. We have to clean up the Avodah Zarah. I want to use this trigger.
The Kohanim also used to
wash their hands and feet together. So it's interesting. Avraham only wanted they should wash their feet, not their hands. Not their hands. The Kohanim have to be the Kaddish, their hands and their feet. What do we do every single morning? Also, you ma'at, just a small amount of water. What is ma'at? A reviz? How much water do you need when it comes to Masech Yodayim? In Seder Taharah, it's a very complicated set of Mishnayos. How much water do you need when you wash it? It's a very hard Mishnayos. How much water do you have to start off with? And many people can wash with one, they just put their hands, they lie up, 100 people can put their hands one on top of the other, and you pour a revius. There's no way in the world a revius is going to touch every person's hand. It's going to evaporate by the time it gets down to person number 100. But as long as you start with a revius, you can wash even hundreds of people, as long as they're all there in one shot. It's very, very complicated rules in the Tilas Yudayim. But in any event, we do have a halach in Shulchan Aruch, a very complicated principle called Netilas Yodayim. And Netilas Yodayim is broken down into many, many complicated subcategories. Now, the first category we're talking about now is the category of washing your hands when you wake up in the morning to remove what we call the ruach ra. Let me take a step back. We know that when we wash our hands for many, many different reasons. The most important probably is before we eat bread. Before we eat bread, we wash our hands. We make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvasei v'tzivanu al netilas yodayim. Okay, there's a minute to wash your hands when you take a haircut. After you take a haircut, the act of cutting off your hair or someone cutting off your hair demands lechatchila that you should wash your hands. We know what? A shave? No, doesn't say that. Only here. There's a difference. Like fingernails. Cutting your fingernails is also an Indian. There's also an Indian of washing. An Indian of washing your hands, going to a cemetery. Person goes to a funeral, is in the vicinity of an oil hanes, even though today there's no paraduma, besides the paraduma, the tumas hanes, coming out of a chapel or going into a cemetery, there's an Indian of washing your hands. When you wake, a person takes a nap in the middle of the day and he wakes up, wash your hands. Go just entering into a beis hakise, a place that is designated to remove waste from the body. Just walking into this room, do nothing. You're not going in there to eat, to nothing. A person doesn't do anything, just walking in there. A person comes out, he should wash his hands. Going to a mikvah has the status of a beis hamerchatz. The mikvah obviously is the place where you immerse the tahara. But the room that surrounds the place of the mikvah, people are standing there not dressed. Any place where a person stands not dressed has the status of a beis hamerchatz. Just walking into a beis hamerchatz demands that when the person come out, he wash his hands. Before a person davens mincha, davens ma'ariv, lechatchila, he should wash his hands. Before you bench, mayim acharonim, wash your hands. There are so many different times a person after he goes to the beis hakisei himself, even if he's in a mokum where it's not, let's say he's on the road, and he goes into an area on the side of the road, and he relieves himself, so he didn't walk into a mokum, but there's a requirement to wash your hands and recite Asher Yotzah. So we have over here a whole long list of different times when a person washes their hand, and many of these things are for completely different reasons, that are not related one to another, and have a different set of rules. Rashi is the most interesting of them all. Rashi says the reason why you wash your hands before you eat is nothing more cleanliness. Cleanliness, before you touch bread, and you put the bread in your mouth, so your hands are probably dirty, because who knows what you've touched during the day. They say that on a person's phone, there's more bacteria on your telephone than there is in the bathroom, in the beis hakisei.
So why for cleanliness would you make a bracha on it?
Chazal were concerned for your health. Rashi learns, Chazal were concerned that a person does not take care of himself, doesn't follow proper hygiene. He's putting himself in sakana. He can come in contact with bacteria, dangerous bacteria, and he can, before he turn around, be deathly ill. So a person, before he touches food, what?
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
No, that's more, okay, fine, but that's touches more upon those who disagree with Rashi and learn that it's more of a spiritual principle. But Rashi is machadish, that the Iker Tam, why Chazal were established, that a person must wash his hands before he eats bread and make a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvasei v'tzivanu, is nothing spiritual, has nothing to do with spirituality, ruach ha'tumah, with being like a kohen. Srach l'truma is another reason why you wash hands, because we want to be mechazik our fellow kohanim who are not allowed to touch truma's kodesh. And if a kohen stam yodayim are shniyos, and if a person touches truma, the truma becomes a shlishi and it's no longer allowed to be eaten, so it's going to go to waste. So in order to strengthen to remind the kohanim that they have to wash their hands before they touch truma. So we also, Yisrael, also wash our hands in order to strengthen, to create an awareness and to be machazik the kohanim, that they also should wash their hands before they touch truma. There are many, many different facets, different reasons. Rashi is novel in saying, going on record as saying the Ikar Tam, why Chazal established we wash our hands before we eat bread, is a statement that a person should take care of his personal hygiene to make sure there is no bacteria in his food, and to know your hands should be clean before you touch food and put it into your body, into your bloodstream. Take care of yourself. And you'll ask if that's the case. So every time you take a drink of water, or you eat mizonos, you eat a hard-boiled egg, you're also touching the food. It's also going to enter in. So how come Chazal were not in the psyche? You should wash your hands and make an al matilas yadayim. I guess the answer is that only that much you can make a person do. You can't make a person crazy every time he takes a snack, which is not bread, to wash his hands with water. Water in ancient times was not so available. It was slave labor to go be a water carrier, to go drill water from the well. However, by washing when you eat bread, it creates an awareness. Make sure you take care of your personal hygiene. And even the things that we're telling you not to, that you do not need to halachically wash your hands, you should just make sure that it's clean. It's an awareness. It's an awareness of being careful, personal hygiene. Today, in our generation, we all know good and well what it's all about. Everyone here has horrible memories of corona, especially in the beginning. In the beginning, they didn't focus on it too much later on, is wash your hands. Right, wash your hands. How long? Sing happy birthday. All these things, and Purell was gone from the earth. The most valuable, remember those days? The most valuable asset in the world was Purell and alcohol, and it was sold out.
Toilet paper.
And then, for some reason, you didn't hear about that too much. Then later on, got other as people became more knowledgeable of how it's going on. How it spreads, the hulu hulu, but it's Chazal were ahead of the game, ahead of the time, they're ahead of the times, and they understood personal hygiene. It's Rashi. However, many other Rishonim, they say no, it has something more to do with spiritual. Now here's something very, very fascinating. Among the long, long list of things that we've mentioned of why we wash our hands is a unique type of washing that's done in the morning. We wake up in the morning. Negel, what we call negel vasa. Vasa is water. Negel means to wash. You wash your hands, and you wash in a unique way.
Nail water.
Boy,
yeah.
I never knew this.
Nail.
What do you mean, nail?
Nails.
That's it. That's what it means. I never knew this. Okay, my ignorance. Fine. Negel vasa. You wash in the morning. What do? You wash three times. Beseugin. You wash. You wash each hand three times. Some wash four times, because after you wash each hand three times, you then wash a fourth time to remove the water that upon which is resting this thing called the Ruach HaTumah. Now here's the thing. Nowhere in the Talmud Bavli, which is the Makar for everything that we do, we live by, is there any mention whatsoever to wash Negel Vasa. There's no Makar, any remnant to this anywhere in the entire Talmud Bavli. Nowhere. Where does it come from? It comes from the Zohar. The Zohar says that when you wake up in the morning, you should not even walk Dalit Amos before you wash Negelvas. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says that before you recite two things, Kriya Shema or Shmoneh Esrei, you have to wash your hands. There's a bit of Netilas Yodayim, washing your hands for Kriya Shema and for Shmoneh Esrei. Not for learning, not for eating. According to Shulchan Aruch, according to what it says in the Talmud Bavli, a person wakes up in the morning. You can eat. You want to eat food. You want to eat scrambled eggs. You want to eat some fruit, vegetables, meat, whatever you want to eat. And you want to touch the food? Go right ahead. You don't have to wash Negel Vasa. You want to walk around? Go right ahead. There is no harm done. You want to make even brachas? You want to learn? You wake up in the morning. I want to learn Torah. Go right ahead. I'm stopping you. You want to make brachas? Birchas HaShachar? The Gemara tells you all of the Birchas HaShachar, with the exception of Andoisim LaYoy Koach. And there's no mention no mention that you limited, you restricted from saying Hashem's name before washing the tilas yodayim. The only thing you need to wash your hands for is if you eat bread, or if you want to recite Kriya Shema or Shmoneh Esrei. That's a Gemara. What?
Any of these?
No. Brachas, the only bracha deraisa, even Birchas HaTorah is deraisa. Birchas HaMozon is deraisa. According to the Gemara, you could recite Birchas HaMozon. Well, the problem is you can't eat the bread. You can't eat bread. Bread you have to wash like in the Tilas Yodayim. So once you wash the Tilas Yodayim, so you can say Birchas HaMozon, your hands have already been washed from the Tilas Yodayim. But technically speaking, there's no requirement, even a Birchas HaTorah.
Birchas HaTorah.
You wear gloves when you eat bread. You're not touching the bread. Correct. But if you're going to touch the bread, then you have to wash. In the Gemara, there is no mention whatsoever that a person has a requirement to wash Negelvas before he says Hashem's name. We are taught that the reason why we say in the morning, Moda'ani lefanechem al-chai v'kayim shechazar to be nishmas v'chemelo rabba munasecha, because it does not have Hashem's name. The reason why we say that, we should say in the morning, really, I think the Gemara says, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you should say is the bracha lokai nishama. Elokai nishama shnasat b'tohari. We don't do that. Why don't we do that? That would be the correct thing to say when the person wakes up in the morning. And the answer is because we don't want you to say Hashem's name, Elokai, before I make the bracha, machazir bracha to Hashem, the Shem Hashem machazir nishamos lefkar mason, before you wash your hands. And not every person has available at his bedside negelvaser where he can wash his hands. So it should not be a standard that every person, when they wake up in the morning, should say Hashem's name before he washes his hands. Why not? Where does it say anywhere in the Talmud Bavli that you're not allowed to say Hashem's name before you wash your hands? The only thing that it says is you cannot say Kriya Shema before you wash your hands, and you cannot daven Shmoneh Esrei before you wash your hands, and you cannot eat bread before you wash your hands. Where does this come from? And the answer is this comes from the Zohar, Sisrei Torah. This is not on record, anywhere else. And now let's take a step back. Okay, what I told you is not 100% accurate. Let me tell you, the only Gemara, the only piece of Bavli that makes mention, the thing which alludes to the requirement for Negelvaser. Here is the Gemara. Marmasech the Shabbos on Daf Kufches. It says, Yad lo'ayin tikotzeitz. A person who puts their hand in their eye. You put your fingers in your eye, the hand should be cut off. Yad lo'chaiten tikotzeitz. The person puts his hand in his nose, he should be cut off. Yad lepeh, tikot seitz. In the mouth. Yad leoiz, in the ear, tikot seitz. Yad lechasuda, tikot seitz. Okay, lechasuda is a certain type of barrel. Yad legigis, tikot seitz. I'm not sure what it means, yad lechasuda. I know what that means. Yad legigis, a barrel of beer. Yad misame, yad machareshes, the hand can cause a person to go blind, it can cause a person to go deaf. Yad male, polypois, the person puts his hand into his mouth and cause a bad breath, or some other type of disease. Tanya binos member, bas chorin hizo. Bas chorin is the name of the demon. Umikapedes al, it's makbid, umikapedes, it's makbid, ashe yichoitz yodav gimel pong. This is Gemara. Until you wash your hands, negelvasas, I lied to you. Didn't I tell you over here you have to wash negelvasas? I didn't lie to you totally, you'll see. Perish, Rashi explains, Yad l'ayin shachas kodim shikul yadav. A person puts his hand in his eyes before he washes his hands, tikotzeitz. What does it mean the word tikotzeitz? Better a person's hand be cut off, he not have a hand, than have a hand and put his hand in his eye before he washes negelvasas. Okay, what's the reason for this? So basically what it says over here is, from the Gemara we learn that when a person wakes up in the morning, upon his hand there's a ruach ra, there is some evil, some dangerous spiritual koyach, and if he touches a part of his body that is open, for example, all of the orifices, the eye, the nose, the mouth, the ears, it's a sakana. But other than that, there's no sakana. The only dangerous thing, according to the Gemara Tava Bavli, is waking up in the morning, upon your hands there is some dangerous spiritual demon. There is nothing, not about dirt. We're assuming now, for the sake of simplicity, the person's hands are clean. He did not touch any part of his body that was meant to be uncovered. There's no zuama. He's wearing pajamas, and his body is totally covered. Why can't you make that assumption? The person who goes to sleep wearing clothing, wearing pajamas, and all the parts of the body that are ordinarily covered are covered. You don't have to assume anything went wrong. I mean, the tzaddikim who wouldn't wear gloves, they wore gloves when they slept at night, so therefore they would not touch anything. But even the average person, if you wear pajamas, and your pajamas cover your entire body, from your ankles all the way up, and you have regular pajamas, what could you have touched in the middle of the night?
But you don't know when you're sleeping.
What are you going to touch? The whole discussion, if you don't know, is a person sleeps without any clothing. Person sleeps naked, or he sleeps just the bare minimum. He wears some undergarments, but most of his body is uncovered. Okay, then maybe you have a problem, you touch something. But if a person is sleeping and he's wearing a full pair of pajamas, what is he going to touch already? So wake up in the morning. So what's wrong? The only thing that's wrong, according to the Gemara, is not to touch part of the body that has an opening, like the eyes, the ears, and the mouth, and something like that. But if a person knows for a fact that he did not touch any of the, but a person otherwise, but a person wakes up in the morning, just don't touch your eyes. If you want to now daven, you want to learn, you want to learn the daf Gemara, go about your business. Go about your business. The only thing that's dangerous about the hands is touching organs that have openings. And also, the Gemara says, do not touch food. Along comes the Zohar, and he says, no. The danger is not just touching food, touching opening parts of your body. There is just upon you a Ruach Ra that in and of itself is dangerous. The Gemara says the danger is only to, you can walk around, do whatever you want, you can even learn. You can learn, you can make a Birchas HaTorah, and you can learn a Daf Gemara. Do whatever you want. Just don't touch an opening of your body, and don't touch food. That's all it says in the Gemara. Until, how do you remove the Koyach HaTumah? By washing your hand 3 times. How does that work? No one knows what this means. There's some of the spiritual power that when you wash 3 times on each hand, whether you wash 3 times regularly or you do it with the same routine, you alternate, that causes this evil spirit to depart. The Zohar comes along and is machadish that there's a danger in just having your, without just walking around without even touching anything, and that demands of you to immediately to wash your hands to remove the Ruach Ra, not even to delay one moment. Are we over here where it says, It's not just an Indian, it's something which can cause harm to your to the different organs, food, like the Bavli. This is a summary of what the Zohar says in Aramaic.
According to the Bavli, how is it causing damage to these orifices?
There is some spirituality. The Bavli acknowledges, but this is all the person talking about is the Bavli does not. According to the Bavli, the only thing you're not allowed to do is touch parts of your body that are open and touch foods.
Again, you got to go because there's a Ruach Ra.
There's a danger. There's some Ruach Ra. Yes. But according to the Bavli, if you're not going to touch your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, not a problem. If you want to make a Birchas HaTorah without washing your hands and learn go to the Daf Yomi without washing your hands, that's perfectly fine. Just don't touch food. Don't touch food. Don't touch your openings.
Is it
workers in a restaurant, Jewish workers must wash their hands.
Jewish workers should, yes. Definitely. So it's a problem. It is a problem.
But there's a sign. It is a problem.
It is a problem that the Jewish workers should wash their hands. And look, I feel they should wash Megalvasa three times. Because according to the Kabbalah, the Ruach Ra only departs when it's removed three times. That's part of the Mashkiach's job. I have a good Mashkiach. You're paying with good money. You might as well get something for your money. Okay, they inflate the price of kosher food by a significant amount because supposedly there's a hechsher. There's a hechsher. And if there's a hechsher, so someone's paying money, the person who's paying money, they might as well do a good job. And part of that is 100% true, that a Jew, if he's not religious, if he's touching the food, mamish, should wash negelvasa.
Not a goy.
A goy is a machlekes, a goy is ruach ra. With, the ruach ra only comes with spirituality. A goy has no spirituality. At least not this type, at least not the type that if he doesn't have that koyach kedusha, so in the mele there's no ruach ra. So to a certain degree it's better to have non-Jewish workers handling the food than have Jewish workers. Because the Jewish workers who handle the food, who said they wash? They wash negelvasa. Or you'll say they wash their hands once. So this is a very big dilemma. And he goes through this, he recites it in the chorus. Is it all or nothing? We're jumping here now, but it's a very important point. He has over here, he has a very nice section over here, a dilemma. Let's say you only have enough water to wash your hands once. Is it all or nothing? When we're dealing with the world of Kabbalah, we have no understanding what this means. It says in the Gemara, you should wash your hands three times, which means there's some type of contamination, and the contamination only leaves the hand when water is poured upon it three times. So does that mean if I pour upon my hands two times, a waste of time, it's a waste of water. You have accomplished nothing. Or do we say that each time that you pour water, you are removing a degree, a third, we don't really know how this works, you remove a degree. So he cites here, Machlekes Rishonim. And he says, so some of the Rishonim is not really Machlekes Rishonim, which is included by Machlekes Acharonim, and he's Medai from the Shulchan Aruch Harav, that it's not all or nothing. That each pouring that you do removes a degree of contamination. And thus, if you have in a restaurant, a Jewish worker who's not religious and did not necessarily wash his hands properly three times, it doesn't matter. He certainly at least washed his hands once or twice, or maybe you could say that he went to the bathroom already two times today and he washed his hands if he did. So maybe you could say that you can combine. I don't know how no one came back to tell us how these things work. Maybe if you have an irreligious Jewish worker, he woke up in the morning, he took a shower, so that's considered washing him at least once. And then maybe he came to work and they told him to wash it a second time. And maybe somewhere along the line he washed his hands a third time. So can you combine the fact that this person, since the time that he woke up in the morning until this moment, he washed his hands three times. It wasn't toich kidei dibur, but he washed his hands three times. I don't know. From the Shulchan Aruch Harav it's mashmer, each time that you wash your hands, you achieve a degree of cleanliness, which is beneficial.
With
a
keli or without
a keli?
Koyach
davra. But if you touch
that's another problem.
If you touch yourself between.
So no, touching yourself is zuhama. See, let's clarify. There are different elements in touching.
Nothing to do with the Kabbalah.
When a person wakes up in the morning, it descends upon him a ruach ra. What is the meaning of a ruach ra? I have no idea. It's some type of supernatural, spiritual, not superstitious.
No.
It says it in the Gemara. You can't say it's something in the Gemara. It's not superstitious. It means something real. There is a real degree of ruach ra. What is that? I have no idea what it is, but it descends upon a person when he goes to sleep. When he wakes up, even that's not so simple. Is it machlekes if it is when he goes to sleep, or is it alois hashachar? When a new day begins, you can be up the entire night. Some hold that this ruach ra descends upon a person with the arrival of alois hashachar, dawn. Some say it has nothing to do with time, it has stuff to do with going to sleep. The nafkamina is that a person did not go to sleep, but he still need to wash negelvasa. Or let's say a person, he got up before Alois HaShachar. He wakes up 3 o'clock in the morning, he washes his hands in Negelwasser, and now it's 7 o'clock, it's after Alois HaShachar, long after Alois HaShachar, is he required to wash his hands a second time? What is the source, the cause of this Ruach Ra? We do not know. We do know that the Gemara, we have a Gemara. The Gemara makes it very, very clear. It says in the Gemara that when a person goes to sleep, and with the passage of Alois HaShachar, it descends upon a person the Ruach Ra. This Ruach Ra only departs when you wash your each hand 3 times. This Ruach Ra is lethal to a person's orifices, any organ that is open to the body. Number two, it's damaging to touch food. That is all it says in the Gemara. If you take the Gemara and you stop it right there, that means if you wake up in the morning and you are careful not to touch your eyes, nose, ear, mouth, and not to touch food, you're good to go, as long as your hands are clean. Now there's another issue, if you touch a part of the body that's ordinarily covered, then there is an assumption that there's sweat. Part of the body that's meant to be covered, if you put your hands there, you're automatically putting upon yourself filth. And that filth can prevent you from being permitted to recite a baracha. If you want to, you go to the Beis HaKisa, you are automatically touching a part of your body that is ordinarily covered, and you are coming in contact with zuham of filth that has nothing to do with the ruach hatumah. L'mayin afkamina, the person goes in the Beis HaKisa wearing gloves. So does he need to go and wash his hands before he eats food? So technically speaking, he does not, because you did not touch a part of your body because you're wearing gloves. So your hands are clean. Are you going to say that there's zuhama, that there's some spiritual type of thing? So that's already Kabbalistic. That's a Kabbalistic principle.
If you
to
want to
say,
go back, you have to wash your gloves in the middle of the night?
What?
If you're
sleeping,
you have to wash.
Yes,
Before you want to bed.
I'm sorry. Yes. According to the Gemara, the answer is yes. The Gemara makes it very clear. Yad la'ayin tikot says, chul l'chul. The Gemara says, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Tanya, Bas Choyrin Hi Zo. The name of this Ruach Ra has a name. Its name is called Bas Choyrin. Makpedes ad sheyuchot yodav gimel pa'amen. That is the end of the Gemara. Okay? That's the end of the Gemara.
You start saying that the
Gemara
doesn't mention anything about Negel Masa?
It says 3 times. It says in the Gemara. I just said it. I just read it. Time, Rabbi Nosson Omer, I said Negel Masa for what we use it for. We have a tradition that you should not walk Dalit Amos. You wake up in the morning, do not move Dalit Amos until you wash Negel Masa. Now, maybe when you're a kid, you do that. Probably, I would imagine here, people here are not so machbi to have by their bed. Is there anyone here that has by their bed a Negel Masa utensil? What?
Used to.
So the head there is the Mishnah Berurah says the leniency is that the entire, with regard to this halacha, we view your entire bias as one expanded, one big dalid amos. It's leniency. But this, the Gemara's requirement to wash your hands when you wake up in the morning is very limited. It's limited only to touching food and touching certain parts of your body. But it does not prevent you, from delaying the washing of your hands until a later point in time, and it does not prevent you from learning Torah and saying, reciting Birchos HaShachar. You can say all the Birchos HaShachar, you can do whatever you want, and you'll say your hands are dirty. Maybe in the middle of the night you touch a part of your body that was meant to be covered. Oh, that's very easy. Just rub. What's going on over here?
I can't hear you.
Okay. I have to.
You're being hacked?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Dr. Friedman, I'm sorry, thank you. I'm sorry. The sound went, the internet went down for a second. Thank you. So what are you, the solution is very simple. Just rub your hands on something that cleans them. There are different ways to clean hands. You can clean hands with water. That's the best way to clean your hands. And then you can clean hands with other means. And the most primitive way of cleaning your hands don't know if it works or not, is to rub your hands on a surface, on a rough surface. What's called a rough surface? I don't know, but use your imagination. So the person wakes up in the morning. What? Or whatever, whatever. Maybe what you're rubbing your hands on is more filthy than your hands. Okay, so I don't know what the technique, this Purell, does Purell count as water? I don't know what's in Purell. I don't know. I know the percentages of liquid, of alcohol, and other ingredients. I do not know if it's considered to be water. Maybe it is. And it might not be enough. If you want to fulfill what it says in the Gemara says you're dealing with removing a Ruach Ra. The name of the Ruach Ra is Bas Choyren. These spirits have very interesting, creative names. Okay, it's called Bas Choyren. That's the name of the Ruach Ra. The Ruach Ra called Bas Choyren does not leave a person's fingers, his hands, until water is poured over the hands 3 times. And this demon is Makpid. The Gemara says Makpedes. She's very, very strict. She will not depart until water is applied to the hand 3 times.
Probably a certain shia or also a revius.
So it doesn't actually, the Gemara doesn't actually say a shia. Ancient point in baking, yukachma me'atmai. The Gemara does not mention a shia. The shia of a revius appears to be purely rabbinic. Purely a rabbinic shia. The Gemara does not mention how much water needs to be poured upon the hand. It just says, Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Baschari Nizo, Umakpedes al Adshe Yirchoitz, Yadav Gimel Amen. It says to you, also says Yirchoitz. Doesn't even say to pour, whatever it means. And then the Gemara goes on, and that's the whole Gemara. So the Gemara again is very, very limited. Who is the one that came along and expanded the scope of the Tilas Yadayim? It is none other than the Zohar Kodesh. And the Zohar, here's a summary of what it says in Aramaic. This demon called Baschar is not only what we said before, which can affect Shemazik Evarov Shal Adam Vood, Khadas Sabavli, El Hugam Inyan Ruchni, he is another dimension, Shahan Nefesh, a person's neshama. See, according to the Bavli, the Ruach Ra is only on your hands. And that's it. It's on your hands. There's a spirit, a demon, on your hands. That's it's external.
The Torah is not saying that.
What?
The Torah said it's a gashmi. It's less than a spiritual.
He did a translation. Not to be so clear what the translation is so accurate. But according to the Gemara, there is a Ruach Ra that is limited only to your hands. It goes up until here, and that's it. On my hands, you can't see under a microscope, it's not scientific. It's something that is out of the realm of the physical world.
You brisk asleep with gloves for that reason.
No, the brisk asleep with gloves is because of Zuama. Okay, no, we'll get to that. Let's get to the basics. Let's do that. According to the Gemara Talmud Bavli, there is something that is a Ruach Ra, but the Ruach Ra is severely limited to your fingers. That's it. And therefore, l'may nafemina, just don't touch food. Don't put your fingers on parts of the body that have openings. And that's it. If you put on gloves, you wake up in the morning, you'll put on gloves, you go about your business. So now, the Ruach Ra is limited to my fingers. I'm not going to be touching food. I'm not going to be touching food. I'm not going to be touching putting it in my eyes, and that's it. You don't bother me, I don't bother you. Okay? Like asbestos. You don't touch it, it doesn't bother you. You leave it alone, it leaves you alone. Along comes the Zohar, and he says, no. When you wake up in the morning, until you wash your hands, your entire neshama is contaminated. It's not just your tips of your fingers. Your entire neshama, you're a defective person, you're a contaminated person. And a contaminated person cannot say Hashem's name. A contaminated person should not even dare walk Dalit Amos out of his makan. You're a contaminated person. You're an ugly, filthy, impure person.
He was
Masakin, I don't know. I don't know what it means. He was Masakin, the Tilas Yadayim. No, that could be for bread. That could be, no, that could be for
only for eating.
For eating, for the sheer release. For it could come out for before you say Kriyashna, could be it. It's also for eating, it for bread. So along comes the Zohar, translating these words on the English translation. That's like Shaima Ruach Ra'in Gashim Bulvash Masaki Rosh Lavin Rachim Bukhras Bavi Elohu Gam Inan Ruchni Shahanefesh. The entire neshama is affected. He Tameil Lachim Yesh Lasalik Ruach Miad, and therefore he goes to town. And he says in Shemachi Dam Limudat Torah Osir, it's Osir to learn Torah because your neshama is contaminated. Your neshama is until you wash it in to remove the ruach ra. It's not just limited to your fingers. The whole neshama is damaged. The apoyisim review diri hazoya. Oyli sa b'shulchan aruch shemi she'im anoytel yadu neshama. Okay, there's another thing he brings out from the Medrash. If you don't wash your hands, you're going to forget your learning. There's a lot of stuff about that. Okay, so here's the big dilemma. The big dilemma is this: an old thing. Any time you have a machlokes between the Bavli and the Zohar, who wins? In fact, how many times are there throughout the entire Shulchan Aruch where there is a machlokes between the Bavli and the Zohar? According to the Zohar, you are not allowed to learn Torah until you wash your hands. You're not allowed to make a bracha, to recite Birchos HaShachar, until you wash your hands. Person in the morning, according to the Zohar, his neshama is tameh. If your neshama is tameh, you may not say Hashem's name until you metahir your neshama. How are you metahir your neshama? By washing your hands three times. According to the Bible, there's no such thing. The neshama is not tameh. Neshama is automatically Torah. You can say Hashem's name. You can do whatever you want. The only thing you can't do is don't put your hands in for your own benefit, for your own goodwill, your own health. Don't put your hands in the parts of your body that are open and don't touch food. But as far as your neshama, it's as good as it gets. You can daven, you can learn. If your hands are dirty, because maybe if you touch sweat, you've touched zuhama. So nusa, rub your hands on a tissue. Just make sure, rub your hands to make sure they're clean to dissolve any type of zoom of be on your hands. Very easy. So the question is, whenever you have machlekes now, we have machlekes between the Bavli and the Zohar, who do we pass it on? So the answer is, it depends. When you can, you should follow the Zohar, but if following the Zohar will lead to a leniency, then we ignore the Zohar. L'may nafinina, there's no water. You wake up in the morning and there is no water. So are you allowed to daven? Are you allowed to recite Birchos HaShachar and daven the entire davening? Are you allowed to daven? Are you allowed to daven? According to the Zohar, you're not allowed to daven. You're not allowed to learn. You're not allowed to do anything until you wash your hands. According to the Bavli, of course you can daven. The only thing you can't do is don't touch openings in your body and food, but daven, you can daven. So if a person has water available to him, then we pass him like the Zohar, you're not allowed to say Hashem's name until you wash your hand three times to remove the Ruach Ra.
Does it have to be water? Could be other liquids?
Water. Only water. Other liquids,
like
it's called...
Juice
no. Charanat. I mean, where are you going to draw the line? There are seven liquids. There are seven liquids, and l'charanat, according to the only rules of Ruach Ra is water. It can clean your hands. All of these other things are good. If a person's hands are dirty, they're excellent uses of ways to clean their hands, but it's not going to remove the Ruach Ra. So if
that's
a person has, if there's going to be water, then you probably pass like this, so you have to wash your hands. If you don't have water, then it will come out that we're going to follow the Zohar, which will result in a leniency, that you're not going to be able to daven. And that we do not do. Now, let's go further. Now, there's another type of washing which is much more significant, and that is what you must wash your hands for Kriyashna and for Shmona Esrei. And what is that all about? That's an entirely different washing. That washing comes from a Gemara. Let me read you the Gemara. The Gemara says, "The Brachos Tafir Baldit." This is a totally different thing altogether. Haroitze lekabel al atzmoi ol malchus shamayim shelema. A person who has a desire to mekabel upon himself a complete ol malchus shamayim. There's nothing to do with negovas. We're done with that. We're done with the negovas. That's a different issue. If ruach ruach, food, eyes, or is your neshama tanea. We're now up to something entirely different. We're up to raw halacha. A person wants to mekabel upon himself ol malchus shamayim. So the Gemara is shalema, a complete ol malchus shamayim. So it says the first thing he should is yifne. He should first go to the Beis HaKisei and clean all the waste out of his body. Number two, the yitol yadav. This is where it comes from. He should then wash his hands. Then it says, yoniach tefillin, put on tefillin, and then, yikra kriyashma, recite kriyashma, the yispalel, and pray. Everything over here is included in the category of mimakabel, and ol malchus shamayim shalema. Go to the Beis HaKisei, washing your hands, reciting Kriya Shema, and Shemona Esrei. And from here, the person can learn that we don't even realize what does it mean Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemai. Many people think that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemai means Shema. Shema means Shema Shema Pino Shema. That's not accurate. There are 3/4 parts of the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemai, just in the Kabbalah itself. Number one, in Kriya Shema, there are really two parts of Kriya Shema that are both equal in what it means Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shema. Number one is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the first part. And the second part is in Yitzias Mitzrayim, the last pasuk of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Lihiyois Lochem Leilokim. I took you out of Egypt for a reason. I took you out of Egypt as slaves in order to be your God. A person has to acknowledge that what are you supposed to remember about going out of Egypt every single day? There's a reason why Hashem took you out of Egypt. The last pasuk. The beginning of Kriya Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and the end of Kriya Shema is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. There are two parts of Kriya Shema, because part of Kriya Shema is to say Yitzias Mitzrayim. Shmone Esrei, the Gemara here says explicitly Yispalel. Now let's understand. There are many, many types of tefillahs. What makes Shmone Esrei different than every other tefillah you say throughout the entire day? So the Mefarshim answer, it's the only time when you bow down, where you are required to bow down. Every other tefillah that you recite, you can say Tehillim, you have brachos, there are many tachanunim, there are many different types of examples. Well, Leilu Shabbat first of all, who says you have to bow down when you say those words?
Baruch Hu,
good question. I don't know the answer. A Leilu Shabbat is very shady. Leilu Shabbat, who says you have to bow? It's a minhag. Once you say Vanachnu Koyim or B'shtachim, Lefnei Melech Malchim Lachim, so we bow already. But the meaning of the words, it's not a command you have to bow. Once you're saying the words,
it refers to Shemoneh
Esrei. No, it doesn't refer to Shemoneh Esrei. It's talking about in the future.
So, no, but you said the only place we bow, we bow there too.
You bow there because you're saying a pasuk that talks about bowing, that the Mashiach will come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear in the world. You're fantasizing. Okay, Aleinu L'Shoyach, and then Mashiach will come, and the time of Anach, and Kodim, and Mashtachim, and Moinim, and Melech, Malchim, and Lachim. So once you say the pasuk, when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, it doesn't say the bow anywhere in the Shmoneh Esrei, right? Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokim, 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 Avram, Elokim, Yitzchak, Elokim, Yaakov, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mogen, Avraham. Where does it say anywhere in those words to bow. What does it say to bow? What does it say? You're saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haseinu. What are you doing? What are you doing? Modim. Modim, I thank you. So you say, I thank you, Modim, I admit, I confess. Baruch Atah Hashem Atoyev Shimcha Ulochon Lo El Lohoydes. Where does it say to bow? There's no zecher of bowing. Yet, Chazal said, you better bow. Because this tefillah is a submission before Hashem. Shemone Esrei is a form of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. You are acknowledging that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He is the source of your blessing and the only one that can help you. And therefore, when you go Lifnei Melech Malchei HaMelachim, you know, when you talk to a person on the phone, you talk to a very important person, do you sit or stand? Okay, I mean, there are a lot of very nice Gedolim stories where people, when they spoke to a Gadol Hadar, they stood when they talked to them on the phone out of reverence. They stood. All right, listen, good for them, right? But do you have to stand when you talk to someone on the phone? Not really. You're not in front of them. You're not in their presence. When you're in the presence of a person, it's different. Okay, when you're on Zoom, who knows what you're doing? Okay, when you're in the room live, there's a certain protocol of how you behave in public in front of other people. The very fact that Chazal told us when you daven Shmone Esrei, you bow. It's trying to make an impression that Shmone Esrei is not your ordinary prayer. You are literally oimed lifnei hamelech. And therefore the bowing is a powerful indication that this prayer is called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim.
You don't bow like Kriya Shema.
Kriya Shema, you say the words. It's actually you sit, but you say the words Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and you say at the end, Ani Hashem Elokech Masher Tseis Yaschem Li Eretz Mitzrayim Lihiyos Lochem Leilokim, to be your God. Two.
They point out the difference between Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Kriya Shema Hashem is talking to us.
But I'm not talking to Hashem. We're Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. It's a Kabbalah. You're not. It's not a direct audience with Hashem. You're not a direct audience, but there is a Kabbalah of Ol Malchus Shemayim. Therefore, this is the words of Chazal. Chazal will say, a person that wants. Let's read the word. This is a very critical Gemara. This Gemara says an enormous amount of information, and opens up all the Mekoros of everything that's in Shulchan Aruch, and especially the Tilas Yadayim. Horoitze, lekabel al atzmoi, ol malchus shamayim shilema. According to what he says over here, he's bringing in other sources. This is the makar for what it says in all the halachas of netilas yadayim. When besides the negelvas, the kabbalistic inyan, let's talk about the halachic requirements. A person that wants to accept upon himself ol malchus shamayim shilema, what should he do? Guf naki. First thing is yifne, a guf naki. Person, that's why if a person has to go to the Beis HaKisa, he can't daven Shmoneh Esrei. All these different rules, a person's guf has to be naki, yifne, go to the Beis HaKisa, and then it says, the yitl yadav. Okay, that's the hachana.
So is he washing because he went to the bathroom?
Good question.
Or is he washing?
So let's say, like we said, a person goes to the Beis HaKisa wearing gloves. He goes to the Beis HaKisa wearing gloves.
Let's say he's not wearing gloves.
So then you have a problem of zuhama. Your hands are dirty. Is that what it means? It means your hands are dirty? Not mastavi, that's what it means.
Well, we do. I mean, there is definitely, you know, people want, you're supposed to wash after you go to the bathroom.
Okay, but not, it's not, let's say a person, he goes to the Beis HaKisa, he doesn't need it. He doesn't every single time. A person's hands are clean. Let's see. The Yitol Yadav, the Acharkach, now it tells you three examples of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yoniach Tefillin, to wear Tefillin. Wearing Tefillin, putting the Tefillin, V'hayolach Ola'os Al Yodcha, U'lezikaroin Bein Einecha, is an act of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. This is very deep. When we wear tefillin, is it many people, they look, the reason why you put on tefillin It's not because tefillin are important. It's that when I daven Shmona Esrei, the antenna should be, it should be broadcast. It's like you need a broadcast. If you need a broadcast, you need an internet connection, right? You need an internet connection. So putting on tefillin is just testing your internet connection. And now, oh, my internet connection is good. So now when I daven the Shmona Esrei, I know it's being transmitted. Is that the pshat? The only reason why you wear tefillin is that when you daven, the davening should be a davening that I'm wearing tefillin. And when I say Kriya Shema, I should not be a liar. So when I say Kriya Shema, I should be wearing, that's not necessarily correct. The act of putting on tefillin is a statement that you are my God. Tefillin is a very unique mitzvah, because tefillin is not, okay, you're wearing tefillin. There's an element of putting the tefillin on. The act of putting the tefillin on, you're making a statement that you are my God, that I accept upon myself your authority. I bind to my body these boxes. I tie you to myself to demonstrate that you are my God. And then you accept upon yourself the yoke of heaven. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then you say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Yischem Yeretz Mitzrayim Liyois Lachem Elokim. First, there's only one God. And then you acknowledge that God did me a big favor. I could have been today a slave in Egypt. Could still be building the pyramids today. And now Hashem took me out for what purpose? Liyois Lachem Elokim. And then you daven the Yispalel. When you daven, you bow down. You humble yourself before God. There are three acts. Well, there are at least three acts of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. The act of Shmona Esrei, the act of saying the Kriya Shema, and now I'm trying to prove to you, putting on tefillin, putting it on, the Maisa Hanocha. Now, L'may Nafkamina, now when it says to go wash your hands, what is that all about? Is the washing your hands, the average person looks at it as a prerequisite. A prerequisite that when I if I'm gonna dive in the Shmona Esrei and I'm gonna say Hashem's name, I can't say Hashem's name if I'm dirty. If my hands are dirty, there's tsoya, or there's a ruach ra. Oh, excuse me, didn't you already wash your hands before? When you woke up in the morning? We combined it together.
Right.
You can clean your hands. You know, there are other ways to clean your hands. You know what? I'll rub my hand on sand or whatever. I'll use some Purell that's not called Natilas Yadayim. It'll be much better than washing with water. Using Purell or some type of high-tech medicine which does not have the status of water, I'll put my hand in some machine where there's some, who knows, some waves, electronic, put hands in the microwave.
The UV
pool. The UV thing, that's much better. That guarantees it gets rid of 100% of the bacteria, whereas washing with water, who says the water's clean? Maybe the water they're using is dirty water, right? So many people, when it says wash your hands, you know what it means, wash your hands? It's a prerequisite so that when you say, so you should be permitted to say Shema. Wrong! The act of washing your hands is an expression of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Because when you wash your hands, it's an act of sanctity. So when you get up in the morning, you wash Negelvas, you know what you're doing? You're removing Tumah. Removal of the Ruach Ra. But there's another thing. Then there is giving it sanctity. There is removal, Sur Meirah Va'asei Toif. Remove the Ruach HaTumah, but give your hands sanctity. Some people, they wake up in the morning and they wash their
Negel. Some say, Su'u Yudeichem Kodesh.
Su'u by Koyhanim. Su'u, why do Koyhanim wash their hands? To Duchen. If your hands are not clean, then you were not allowed to daven Shmona Esrei. They just finished davening Shmona, a long Shmona Esrei, shuckling away, and then they said, Kedusha, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And as soon as Baruch Atah Hashem or Kel HaKadosh, there's a mad rush, what's the expression? There's a mad rush to the sink for the Kohanim to go wash. Excuse me, if your hands weren't clean until now, how are you allowed to daven Shmona Esrei? How are you allowed to say Kedusha? The answer is the hands are clean, but we're now giving our hands an additional degree of sanctity before we raise them and be a conduit of sanctity to the Jewish people. Our hands are clean. There's no filth on our hands because our hands were dirty. We couldn't have Shemona Esrei. We couldn't. We're doing it again to give it a new darga of sanctity so that when we raise our hands in the Kedusha, Yivarechacha, it should spread sanctity. There's washing your hands in the category of Sur Merah, and there's an act of washing your hands of Asei Toif. Negel Vasser is primarily a Sur Merah. Now it happens to be that you can, today we're lazy, so we do it in one shot. We wash Negel Vasser, so it counts for Sur Merah. We remove the Ruach HaTumah, we say goodbye to this demon, and we also sanctify our hands, and we sanctify our hands in the process for davening. But the truth is, ideally, many people, holy people, they wash Negel Vasser, and when they come to shul, before they put on their tefillin, they come to shul, they wash their hands again.
Right.
They wash.
And after they put on the tefillin.
What?
And they put on the tefillin. They touch their head, so they wash their hands again.
They touch their head, so there should be requirement to go wash again.
They do.
Exactly, because why? Well, they don't really have to do that. See, that's you don't even need to do that, because what we're saying over here, and the way he's saying it very proud, the Gemara says, a very critical Gemara, a person that wants to be mekabel alav ol malchus shamayim shelema. The Gemara lists five ingredients. Yifne, you go to the base, get rid of the waste, clean your hands, then put on tefillin, then say kriya shema, and then, the ultimate? Now, the average person would be misled to believe that the Shlema comes when you daven the Shemona Esrei. Is that the way you look at this Gemara? We're going to a climax. The climax is to come to the point where it says, Yiniach Tfilin, Yikra Kriya Shema, V'Yispalel, I made it. Wait a minute, is that the pshat? And everything that you do until then is just a prerequisite to go clean your body. Oh, get out of the waste. Now my hands are dirty. Wash my hands. Put on the tefillin. Gotta get the antenna. I gotta make sure, do a test, make sure, a speed test to make sure the internet is connected. And then, Kabbalah, so malchus shamayim, I'm acknowledged as a God, and I'm... And now the spitz, here we go, the Kabbalah Shemayim is davening the Shemona Esrei. That doesn't sound right. You know why it doesn't sound right? Because they taught us in elementary school that Kabbalah's Omal Chos Shemayim is when you say Kriya Shema. When you say Shemayim is what Shemokin Hashem Echad. But if the spitz is davening, so they misled us. So the answer must be that we learned the Gemara wrong. Each one of these elements is an independent, a totally independent act of Kabbalah Tzom Malchus Shemayim. There's a Kabbalah Tzom Malchus Shemayim of Davening Shemona Esrei. There's a Kabbalah Tzom Malchus Shemayim of saying Kriya Shema. And there are two parts of the Kriya Shema. There's a Kabbalah Tzom Malchus Shemayim in washing your hands. Because when you wash your hands, the Targum translates with Verochatsu, the Kitshoy, sanctification. When you wash your hands, washing hands, you're sanctifying your hands. That is itself a Kabbalah. What are you sanctifying your hands? I'm your servant. I have to sanctify myself for your purpose, as a mission. And guess what? There's another form of sanctification, and it explains why the bracha is so magnificent, and that is going to the bathroom. Well, isn't it bizarre? A bracha of galui v'yodua lefnei chisei v'odecha. Since when does a person say such lofty, Kabbalistic concepts? You know from the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod. When you go to the Beis HaKisei, you go to the room. Why is it called the Beis HaKisei? Not because it's a chair. It's a makom that enables you to make a bracha that makes mention of the Kisei HaKavod. That's why it's called the Beis HaKisei. Yeah! You're going to tell me it's called the Beis HaKisei because there's a... How crude could you be? How the
it's a Lashon Nekiya.
Lashon Nekiya? That it sounds right. Pretty crude to me.
I mean,
cannot be. It's the crudest thing to say. You go say it in English. Say it in English. I'm going to the room with this a chair with a hole in it. It's crude. Crude as can be. It means it's the bias.
You're calling the base a kisei and the kisei a kovet.
It's the bias.
That's the crudest.
No, it's not. No. It is the bias that enables one to recite a blessing that mentions the kisei hakovot. Why would you want to say such a nusach? Because it says going to the Beis HaKisei is an act of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Just like Kriya Shema, Ha'oreitzel Lekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim Shalema. Each one of these actions is an act of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Removing Psoiles is a demonstration that you are a klisharis for Hashem. And a klisharis has to be clean, perfect. You have to clean your weapons. Okay, that's something in the military. Big avoida. It's a soldier has to clean and prepare, oil, calibrate your weapon. It's a big avoida. A person who goes to the base, this is not just, it's an act of I am now being mekabel ol malchus shemayim by preparing my guf, cleaning my guf for Hashem's service. Then there's another kabbalah ol malchus shemayim. Even if he went into the Beis HaKisei with gloves and there's no waste, there's nothing. I have to sanctify my hands. That is a kabbalah. I'm here, ready to serve. I'm ready to serve. And then there's Yusani Kriyashma. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ani Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Tzeis Yitzchem Yerishem Liyosachem Elokeinu Ania. And then there is submitting to Hashem. Baruch Ato Hashem. You bow before Hashem. Each one of these five elements is in itself an independent act of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. And therefore the Netilas Yadayim is, it's nothing to do with Negavas. Negavaser in the morning is, the Gemara says, Yad la'ayin, tikot seitz. It's a Ruach HaToma. Get rid of the Ruach HaToma. That's a, now you come to Netilas Yodayim of davening, of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And before, there's prepare yourself. The guf. Kriya Shema. Tzvila. Okay.
Three times
is sumira.
And what is sumira?
Sanctification.
How is sumira?
Kabbalah.